The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It is Friday, Tony. What do you got planned for the weekend?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Sit right here in my attic and wait for Monday.
Oh, wow. That sounds like, I don't know, the last 48 weekends, the 48 Fridays you've had.
So I sit here, and then the camera miraculously turns on Monday, and then I'm ready to go.
How about that?
And I don't really have to go anywhere. Sometimes I take the dog out, but that's pretty much it. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Nuggets blow it, a hockey headbutt, and it's Tom Thibodeau out coaching Steve Nash. But we begin today with something in your wheelhouse, Wilbon, Big Ten basketball.
Yeah.
Last night, number 3 Michigan ran away from number 9 Iowa.
That's a trap.
Winning by 22 points and establishing themselves as a top-tier team. Across the state, Michigan State beat number 4 Ohio State. And when coupled with the Spartans' Tuesday win over number 5 Illinois, Michigan State put itself back in the NCAA conversation. So, Wilbon, which win was bigger?
Michigan State. They got to win to get in. I mean, they still may have to win another game or two, Tony. I mean, I know that a lot of us Big Ten alums expect, 10, 12 Big Ten teams to be in the tournament, more like 8, 9. But Michigan State needed to win last night. And Michigan's set. And I did watch a lot of that game because I just wanted to see, is Michigan the best team in the country? Possibly. And yes, the answer is they are possibly. But that's about seeding. Michigan State's playing for its tournament life right now, and that's a big win last night. I think you agree with that.
I do completely agree. And I'll tell you exactly why. Going into this week, Michigan State was 5-9 in the Big Ten. That's out. You're not getting in at 5-9 in your conference.
Probably not.
It's not going to happen. So now they are 7-9, and they have big wins. I will confess that I am now rooting for those Blue Bloods that gassed for much of the season to this point. Now, Kentucky's hopeless.
They're not getting in.
They're underwater.
Duke
they're
is
not
probably
gonna get in.
Getting in. Probably.
I find myself rooting for Duke and Michigan State and Kansas and North Carolina, who I think should schedule Marquette a couple of more times and see if they can finally beat them. And I would point out that Michigan State has 2 games with Michigan. If they were to win one of them, Mike, and beat the 3, the 4, and the 5 in the entire country, they're in. Game, set, match, they're in.
Don't get too cocky. I mean, it's complex. First of all, you just do one of those things like we do, usually around Labor Day in college football season where we say, well, if so-and-so wins, rolls the table.
Just one.
And they win 9 in a row. People presume all this stuff every year.
No, just one of those 2 games.
But it's a hard one. It's a hard one to get. I mean, you can't presume that one. And this year, you can't presume anything. Tony, one of the things this is hard for me. I've paid less attention to college basketball than ever because of the nature of the world, certainly the country, and not even knowing who's going to play when and if they're going to play. And yet, my conference is having what is possibly the best season in the history of Big Ten basketball, possibly. So I'm conflicted, but I want to see as many teams as can get in. Since my alma mater is not going to get in, I'm rooting for Illinois. I know you East Coast people don't understand how you can root for your rivals because we're not like that. I'm rooting for
That's
the Illini to win and keep winning. So, I know you don't care because what do you got? Huh? Yeah. Where's Binghamton? Well, are they in? They're in about the same spot as we are.
We're in the America East tournament, and that's a big-time tournament for us. Look, Michigan's really good. They beat Ohio State, and they beat Iowa in a row. And they beat Luke Garza last night, who is my boy.
Yeah, I know.
Hunter Dickerson, who's from DeMatha, and Luke Garza from Murray, both from this area.
Dickerson played great. Get the Big Ten kid's name right,
Dickinson.
The local.
So they played great. And I heard Jay Billis, I think I heard him say last night, that Michigan was on the exact same level as Gonzaga and Baylor. So,
that's what
a
I'm
big
thinking.
Deal.
By the way, one more time for you. I asked you yesterday, you bailed on it. How good is Garza? How good is he? Because there's some games in which he displays all the skill of anybody. And then
my son was his teacher. I love him.
You love him. How good is he?
Last night, Last night, he only was, I think, 6 for 17 or 6
yeah,
for 19, only 4 rebounds.
Yeah, he shooting night last night.
The other kid's a big kid.
Well, yeah,
Dickinson.
Dickinson. Thank you.
Move on. Thank you.
The Denver Nuggets passed on a last-second chance to tie the Washington Wizards last night. With just seconds left, Jamal Murray led a 4-on-1 break. But instead of going straight to the hoop for two, Murray pulled up, dished it to Campazzo, who missed the potential game-winning three. Tone, what do you make of how the Nuggets lost?
Well, this is basketball right now. Everybody pulls up for a three to win the game. Everybody thinks he's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Clearly, the play is to go to the basket, tie the game, and go to overtime. But four guys fan out. Here's my position on that, Mike. Here's my position. That's got to be coached. Coaches probably tell them, that's how we're going to attack. We're going to go for the three whenever it's available. And it was available. So I think coaches now have to say, hey, we got to, in certain situations, we got to go to the basket and tie. It was preposterous the way they had the last shot.
Tony, it was, but I'm not going to blame it on the coach. How many times, and we used to go to practice when reporters could go to practice. You and I used to go to practice.
Yep.
And we heard the great coaches of all time. And nobody talked about anticipating a 4-on-1. They practiced 2-on-1 with a trailer. They didn't practice 4-on-1. And no, they weren't going to fan out all around the arc. But a couple of other things, Tony. One, Jamal Murray's got the ball. Jamal Murray is, you know, a better three-point shooter by a couple of percentage points than Campazzo. And Jamal Murray's the star of that team when it comes to shooting.
But he was guarded.
I know Joker is.
He was guarded. The other kid was open.
Tony, you think Steph Curry would have been reticent had he been guarded? Jamal Murray's almost in that Steph Curry category.
No,
I want to see him make a better play. You're wrong.
Fine.
You don't watch him. You don't care about Denver. You don't watch teams in the Mountain Time Zone.
You've got to go to the basket.
Or Jamal Murray shoots
the three. Look, here's what I thought. At first, I tried to say that this is sort of like deciding to go for a two-point conversion to win a game in football, but it's not.
No.
Because there's deliberation before you make decision.
Yeah.
There's a timeout before you make that decision. It's very important, win or
lose on
that. Well,
they didn't call
timeout. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not like football. What I'm saying now, Mike, is that the instinct in basketball is to take a three.
Yes.
And coaches have apparently allowed it, and they've got to change it.
Tony, your previous sequence, Joker, at 7 feet. Who within the lane just seems as automatic as anybody on floaters and little chippy. He passes it back out at 7 feet. He passes out to the other wing, and they missed that three as well. By the way,
that's
the
coaching.
Wizards they won 3 out of 4 on the Western
They're
swing.
Good.
They beat the Lakers, they beat Portland, and they Denver.
They actually won 4 out of 5. Okay,
well, but 3 of 4
five, but
on the road trip. Thank you for telling.
Look. Let me go back to the coaching part of it. I'm not saying coaches say this is what we have to do. I'm saying coaches have to come in and say, we can't just take threes all the time. That's not basketball. Let's go to baseball, which is not basketball. Yesterday, Bryce Harper said that the NL East, where he plays now with the Phillies, is the best division in baseball. Harper said, and I quote, I don't think this is even a question. We have five teams that are really good. I think this is going to be a juggernaut of a division, unquote. Wilbon, are you backing your boy, Bryce Harper?
No, he's your boy, and I know you're backing him because he's got a Philadelphia. He's got an I-95 locale on his jersey, so you'll go with that. The best division in baseball to start the season, it doesn't have to be top to bottom, although I think the Diamondbacks could bounce back to where they were, like 7 or 8 games over 500 two seasons ago, the last full baseball season. But it's the NL West, all right? It's the opposite side of the country. It's the Dodgers, who are the defending World Series champions, and the Padres, who just seem like they have a bottomless pit of a bank account, and they can spend whatever they want to, handing out $300 million contracts. No, it ain't. I know the Mets look like they might be good because they spent a bunch of money, too, and got some really good ball players. But I don't care about Philly yet. I care about, to start the season, the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, that's one of the five dumbest things you've ever said in the 20 years we've done this show. When you say it's not about the entire division top to bottom, it's only about the top to bottom in the entire division. The point is that in the NL East, Atlanta is a 90-plus win team all the time. The Nats won the World Series in 2019. The Mets have got Lindor now and are freely spending money. The Phillies have a wonderful starting lineup by keeping Real Muto, and they brought in Dave Dombrowski to win right now, and the Marlins, of all teams, made the playoffs last year. In every other division you can name, there are weak teams. That's exactly what Harper is saying, and that's one of the great Harper quotes, though not quite as good as, quote, "That's a clown question, bro." I mean, the trouble with the NL East is there's no weak team to beat up on, so it's very possible they won't get multiple teams in the playoffs because they won't have that many wins. But your position, worse than when you push.
Do you have a napkin there to wipe the Kool-Aid off the sides of your mouth, off the corners?
No.
Because
you're right about the top two.
Okay, the last time we made a bet like this on the show, I took a stupid position. You know, I just took a flyer
on Belichick
versus Brady. Now I'm going to take this one
seriously. Lose by much.
I'll take this one seriously. The Dodgers and the Padres, both of them, will finish atop all the NL East teams. I'll take that. The two of them against all your teams.
Stop. Okay. All right. Just one second. That's exactly my point. They get 19 games against three weak teams, against Colorado, Arizona, and
Arizona's
the Giants.
Arizona's not necessarily a weak team.
That's where they pad their statistics. Because you have 12 houses
team.
There.
Why? Because they're 95 and you say so?
Not taking that bet. It's
man
loaded
up,
for you.
Let's
take a break.
Dodgers, Padres, champs.
When you
get a dog.
When you analyze what you're saying, it's a stupid
bet. I'm
going to
go with Bryce Harper.
Would make.
How's his career
Let's
going
take
in
a break.
Philly so far relative to Washington? Huh? How's it going for him?
Steve Nash's Nets have the better record, but as Tom Thibodeau, Chicago guy, done a better job as head coach of the Knicks.
I-95 team. We'll pit a glorious goal against the aftermath of an ugly one in toss-up. Go ahead, take the NL East, like the NFL East, NFC East, take them too.
Your bet is weighted badly. 19 games against weak teams.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter. One man eventually leaves and drives home to his gated community, while the other one remains in his attic where he has been for 343 straight days. What's first?
Toss-up. Who's done the better coaching job this season, Steve Nash or Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, the New York City coaches, the I-95 coaches, both won last night. Look, the Knicks are terrible. They've been terrible for a long time. They haven't made the playoffs in 400 years. And the last four or five coaches they had have been terrible. So Thibodeau has done a terrific job. There's no question about that. They are now, though they're under 500, they are in sixth spot for the playoffs. So I should probably say Thibodeau. Anybody would, but I'm not because you love him too much. I'm going to say Steve Nash for very specific reasons. One, Kyrie Irving hasn't subverted everything he's done yet, which I'm still afraid of. And two, without Kevin Durant, who's going to now be out till the All-Star game, they're 7-2 lately and 6-0 more recently. That's coaching, as is getting James Harden to sacrifice his game for the greater good. Point guard to point guard, the answer is Steve Nash.
I love Steve Nash as much as Tibbs. You know Steve Nash, one of my all-time favorite players, period. And he's done a great job. First of all, though, I thought Kyrie was coaching the team. I thought Kyrie just sort of, you know, he said, Kyrie says, I told Harden that he was playing the point, not playing the two, and that was that. So it sounds like Kyrie's the coach. It's Tibbs. The Knicks last made the playoffs, Tony, in 2013, last time they won a series as well. Randle is a terrific player for the Knicks. He's an all-star. He should be. People don't even know who Quickly is. I know you don't know who he is. You probably think Derrick Rose is still playing for Tibbs in Chicago. No, that's happening in New York.
No, he's in New
AJ
York.
AJ Barrett
just
is okay.
Just keep talking about Chicago people.
But this is about Tibbs. Yeah. The Knicks are a threat.
RJ Barrett.
Huh? RJ Barrett's done okay. He's done all right.
Dickinson, RJ Barrett. Next.
Toss up. Who provided the better hockey highlight last night? TJ Oshie or David Riddick?
Okay, so David Riddick is the Calgary goalie. He lets in a soft goal from about 300 feet. It's his fourth goal allowed in less than a period and a half, so he gets yanked. Watch this in a tunnel. Boom! He smashes his head against the wall. That is a great hockey play.
Gus Frerotte
but TJ Oshie's play is better because it comes against the blood rival for the Caps, Pittsburgh. And he goes to his left, he avoids a defender, he sprawled out, he pushes it past the goalie. It is such a great goal that our friend Craig Lachlan, doing the color, calls it uncomprehensible. There is no such word. That's how great that goal is. It's uncomprehensible.
Tony, the headbutt highlight is so violent. Now, you know, in Washington, we think of a headbutt highlight being Gus Frerotte in the, you know, the
top. Yes.
But Tony,
where his eyes rolled in his head.
This was so violent. You immediately got to put him in concussion protocol. The best hockey highlight from last night, we didn't have. It's a write-in. It's Patrick Kane, 0-0 in the third period, scoring the only goal necessary for the Blackhawks. We don't have it.
This
is an East Coast biased show because of you. You probably had the highlight sabotage.
Crapahula, as people used to say. I
Washington
think Billy Jean
goals,
used that.
DJ Ocean.
Crapahula.
Nationals.
That's it. Let's take one last
Capitals.
Break. Still to come, Bill Belichick and the Patriots have some good news to celebrate.
What could they be celebrating? People coming back, I guess. LeBron and the Lakers, are they going to lose for the fifth straight time tonight when they face the Blazers, who are trying to avoid their fourth consecutive loss?
Are you saying Calgary-Ottawa was an East Coast game?
Washington.
Because that's where Riddick was playing.
Washington.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Toyota. Let's go places.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday tomorrow. Chris Godwin, the Tampa Bay wide receiver, graciously gave up his number 12 jersey when TB12 joined the Buccaneers. Godwin caught 65 passes from Brady this year for 840 yards and 7 touchdowns. Godwin is a free agent, but he is not clamoring to leave Tampa Bay. Godwin told Pat McAfee, and I quote, "I want to be here. I love the guys on this team. I think we've got something special. At the same time, you've got to consider all the possibilities out there and consider what's doing best for you and your family. The goal, obviously, is to get paid, right? But at the same time, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to be miserable just for a couple of extra dollars. I think my happiness is paramount, and part of that happiness is winning," unquote.
That's the longest quote in the history of PTI. What is this, the Pat McAfee replay hour? You know what this boils down to? That's a nice sentiment, by the way. It's a good quote. It matters just whether TB12 wants you. If TB12 looks out there in the great beyond and sees somebody else he'd like to play that position, you'll be out and somebody else will be taking you and you'll be grateful. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, but he likes Godwin. Happy anniversary, Manute Bol. This is posthumous, but on this day, 34 years ago, Bol blocked 15 shots for the second time in his career. He blocked 8 shots in the fourth quarter alone as the Washington Bullets beat Indiana. Bol was 7'7" and very, very thin. I loved him. When I was a sports columnist, I once wrote Bol could get a second job as a speed bump. Bol worked hard to make himself an NBA player and he developed a decent three-point shot. Though it was odd to see him standing 25 feet from the basket and shooting because all your instincts said, go inside, big man, throw it down. At one point, the Bullets had Bol and Muggsy Bogues, the tallest man in the league at 7'7", and the shortest at 5'3". Again, as a sports columnist, I wrote, why have a team bus? Why not just have a circus clown car? And that's why I got out of writing.
Tony, it wasn't strange for me to see him shooting that shot, because back in the day, when players like Bol came to the league and they didn't play right away, their coaches made them play games, pick up games after practice with scrubs like me as a sports writer who was there. You can check the story with Rick Mahorn. We would have this rule playing with Bol where he couldn't come inside the arc. And so he started shooting threes. Again, you can ask Rick Mahorn, but I was playing basketball pickup games on a semi-regular basis with Manu Bol. That's a career highlight. I'm sure I never got a shot anywhere near the rim with him guarding it.
Happy trails, Matthew Wolff, the 21-year-old rising star on the PGA Tour, withdrew from the WGC event in Florida last evening without providing a reason. Of course, the reason might be that Wolff shot an 11 over par 83 in yesterday's first round. Because this is a no-cut event, Wolff will still make the $32,000 that goes to the last place finisher. One round, 32 grand, beats working. Wolff, who already has a tour win and is ranked 19th in the world, had a terrible round. He shot 83 with four birdies. He also had four bogeys, two doubles, one triple, and a quad. On his 15th hole, while taking a practice putt, Wolff actually hit his own ball by mistake. At times, he wandered away from his group. Once his playing partner, Shane Lowry, asked him to stop moving. This, of course, is my typical round. I would kill for 83.
Yeah, but your typical round ain't four birdies. But yes, we get to 83 that way. The difference is we can shoot the 83. Matthew Wolff, who I love watching play, can come back and shoot 63. We cannot.
Big finish real quick.
Let's
do it. Mark Spears reports the Nets are making Spencer Dinwiddie available in trade talks. Are you surprised?
No, Tony. They don't need him. That's ultimately what you're going to decide there. Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, all plan to opt back into playing for the Patriots this season. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, they're a defensive team now. Former WNBA player Renee Montgomery, a new owner of the Atlanta Dream. Your thoughts?
A very nice result to all that drama in Atlanta to have Renee Montgomery. Number 2 Baylor at number 17 Kansas tomorrow. You smelling upset?
Yes, actually this time I am at Kansas. I am. Last one, Blazers at the Lakers tonight. Fifth straight loss for LA.
There's going to be some drama tonight, but it's hard to see LeBron and the Lakers losing five straight and they're back at home.
Out of time, we will try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.